You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 81, Pardon the Disruption.
So I have a question. What's going to happen to you after you die?
Specifically, you're going to go to heaven.
Okay, perfect. What's specifically your Google account information?
Oh, well, if my wife is still alive, I'll give her access. She'll know where all of my passwords and everything is stored.
You say you won't give her access because you'll be dead. If you hadn't already given her your access, it'll be too late.
No, and I think I would just, I don't know what I'd ever do. Probably just shut it all down.
So what's cool is Google just launched what they call the Inactive Account Manager. Basically, what it allows you to do is it allows you to set up other users that will be given access to all of your Google accounts after a certain period of inactivity. I think six months is standard, but you can make it more or less. Or if you don't use anything on Google for 6 months, it's going to pop on over and give all your data up to people who can manage it for you. So it's a way to kind of that big question of what happens to your information after you pass. Google's figured out a solution. It's kind
can
of a
I,
weird one.
Can but, I bequeath rights before I'm inactive?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, I just would like say I die.
Yeah.
In a totally awesome way. And, you know, and I want my wife to have like permission right away to go in and start messaging people as if I'm from the dead or whatever. Right. I want her to be able to,
it's a full prank on people. You know, it's important. The timing on that is important. I'll be honest.
But anyways, to let her be able to go in and manage it and do whatever she wants to do, either delete it, archive it, whatever. You know, I don't want to have to wait 6 months. I just let her do it right away. Once she's confirmed that I'm dead. I want to know,
That's the thing is that the timeout period, set a timeout period for your account. Google will alert you 1 month before the period expires. Your account will time out if you haven't signed into your Google accounts for your options are 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and a year. And so this is like if you just like fall off the face of the planet and like, you know, and go to Africa, that's technically part of the planet, I realized, but it was an idiom.
And my wife never turns on my computer because the second she turns on my computer, I'm connected.
Right. So this isn't about people dying. It's about people being inactive, which is nice because, you know, sometimes people disappear because they decide they don't want to be part of your system, man. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting solution, and I'll have
it's
to
just
set
an
it
interesting
and,
problem in general that we've never really had to think about, and there's not a lot of infrastructure set up around it.
Right. It kind of freaks me out. I want to set it to a year because I'm gonna be totally honest. Huh. I'm not entirely sure that I won't just disappear for 6 months. Like I'm pretty sure I won't, but, you know.
Well, it sounds like you could still log in after 6 months, right?
Oh, yeah. But I don't want you to know my stuff. Come on now.
Well, it depends who you're going to bequeath it to, man.
Yeah, that's actually the real question. I know. You're like, not pointing at yourself when you do that, but you're pointing at yourself.
You should give it to me. I'll take care of you, man. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
I'll start emailing people left and right. Hey,
just don't look at my YouTube history. Okay?
I'll be like this.
I just don't want.
I'm stuck in Africa and I need $1,000. Can you wire it to me in Oregon?
Send it to James's account. He'll manage
he'll take
it for
care
me.
Of it.
Thank you.
I could probably verify a lot of stuff too. You know when they go, this sounds like your spam. Verify that I'm your friend. I'll be like, we went to school together. Done.
Yeah.
I can tell you a lot about James.
Yeah, I can tell you a lot of it. He's the bestest out there. He's the greatest, man.
He was my favorite brother.
He's my favorite. oh man. So in another cool little twist of
fate.
So I might. Okay, so obviously Africa is one of my go-tos for falling off the face of the planet, but you know where else you can fall off the face of the planet? India. Ironically, that's actually an interesting one, because that's what Columbus was trying to not do when he was trying to go to India and accidentally ran into America. Actually, you know what, that whole thing, have you ever heard of the whole, the idea of the flat world society? It's like this new, they call it the flat world society, if you ever hear that term, but it's a reference to the idea that we, as like in this time period, think back to like Columbus's day and think, whoa, that society believed in a flat world, when they absolutely, like, there's a huge amount of this, like, documentation stuff going back as far as like, you know, like pre, like BC, pre-biblical times, that like, nah, people knew that the world wasn't flat. like the smart people, at least. Like, that wasn't a big shock. Like, Columbus, what the real problem was, what was so dangerous about what Columbus was doing was, he thought that the world was a lot smaller around. He thought that it was a much shorter distance to get to India than what was classically believed. He was absolutely wrong. He just got lucky because there was a big old landmass in his way.
People thought he'd die because he would just run out of supplies.
Right, yeah, but right. Nobody thought he was going to fall off the earth.
Well, how does that rumor get started, for crying out loud?
See, and that's actually a big question. That's why when they talk about the Flat Earth Society, how did we come to that? How did we jump to that conclusion? And it's funny because it's like, it's obvious when you talk about like what evidence did they have that the world wasn't flat. Well, you look at boats and they got these great telescopes and you watch the boat go over the horizon and then they don't fall off the planet. They just go over the horizon. Well, obviously it's because it's curved. It has to be curved. That's the only possible explanation. And it's curved in every direction. Well, something that's curved in every direction is a ball. Like, you're like, oh yeah, that really doesn't take a lot to wrap your head around it. I mean, like, even very prehistory, pre-science, where you can't look at all the other planets in the solar system and realize they're all big balls too. You know, even then, you still are forced to conclude that it's a ball. We're sitting on a big ball. Like, and nobody thought it was, well, not nobody, but like, your actual academics of back in the day knew it was round. It's crazy. Anyways, the more you know. Let's say you're trying to get to India. Guess what? More and more people are going to be using iPhones up in there. You know, we've been talking about this, and I keep mentioning this because I think that right now, you know, the meme of the day is that China is the next big important emerging market, but clearly clearly Apple is thinks that India is at least as important, and they've been having all these crazy strategies.
Sometimes it's just easier to sell there. Exactly. Because they don't have the crazy restrictions that China does.
Right. You know,
they don't make you do public apologies.
Right, yeah. And so they're all of a sudden, iPhones are just taking off, specifically the iPhone 4s, which gives all the more credence to the idea of which are the cheapest. And they say that the sweet spot for price is 20,000 rupees. And because the iPhone 4 is a... it's a flat price everywhere in the world. It costs the same no matter where you are. It's like 26,000, but they have this like buyback program where if you bring in your old cell phone, they'll give you some money. And even like cheap, like, you know, Nokia phones, those are worth like 6,000 rupees, which brings you down into the price point. So they're just selling like crazy. Well, Samsung all of a sudden was like, wait a second. We don't like this. So Samsung has dropped the price on their phones in India, and they're kicking off a price war in India, and they're selling bunch of cell phones, which all of this kind of leads to the idea that the iPhone 5 is selling terribly because it's super expensive. But all of this gives a lot of credence to this is a classic Apple strategy where you start to get the thing into the market, get everybody excited, and then 6 months later introduce a really affordable version that everybody can kind of get in on, which is what they did with the Airs.
Which is an even more like compounding or condemning factor for the PC sales.
Right.
You have India that is, I mean, they have computers there, don't get me wrong, but they're going straight to mobile, and you're not going to see the type of PC saturation that you saw in the U.S. It's just never going to happen.
Or China. I mean, even China was really everybody and tons of people in China have PCs, and it's just
eventually
not going to happen. Right. It's just not going to happen in India. India is going to be what the modern, you know, India is a fascinating place to look at where technology trends are going, because they're skipping all the fundamentals and they're just going straight to the mobile.
Which, you know, makes me keep thinking, like, again, I keep struggling to buy an iPad, to justify the purchase of an iPad. I think I'd use it all the time and I'd love it. I just trouble justifying it.
I do, and I do.
I know.
And thankfully, I didn't have to justify it.
Yeah. But there's another part of me, because I keep trying to justify it, right?
Yeah.
I keep trying. Is clearly this is the direction the world's headed in. If I want to remain relevant, I should probably get in on that.
Probably.
You know, and buy one so that I can be there and be learning it and doing it. Now, granted, I have a phone which is like a mini iPad, you know, so I'm not like totally lost.
I use my iPhone more than I use my iPad. I will mention that.
Interesante.
Mostly because the internet never dies on my phone, even when Wi-Fi is bad, which I'm pretty sure China is like engaged in a major like assault on America right now, because the internet is bad everywhere. I hear it on the radio. It doesn't matter where I go. I feel like something's actually going on with the infrastructure of the internet. Now, I realize that that's just totally like, maybe it's because I'm like impatient and I'm getting used to my LTE speeds, but it's driving me nuts, man. Everywhere. Okay. Sorry, I totally interrupted.
No, that's okay. Anyways, I was just thinking, I keep trying to justify it and I'm not quite there yet, but
eventually.
Okay, you could do the last two quick.
Okay, so
actually, believe it or not, I filled up the entire time.
Nice. So there's been a major brute force attack. People are trying to get your basically a botnet is going around and trying different passwords, and they're just trying to get anywhere that uses a WordPress site like us. People are attacking it, and it's all over the world, and basically every major ISP has been affected by it. So awesome. Just be aware if you use it. And then the other one is Eric Schmidt wants the government to regulate commercial drones because they want Google to be the only ones that can spy on you in your backyard. But this is it's an interesting dilemma in the modern world where it's like, I can build a spy drone for a couple $100 that works really, really well and send it into my neighbor's yard. And commercially, you're going to be able to build these crazy drones that can just like, you know, for like $500, you'll get these like super, like you get like a drone that can stay up in the air for weeks because it runs on solar power. And, you know, who's to stop your average like mucky muck from spying on his neighbor? You know, so Schmidt wants them regulated because he thinks that's important. But it's an interesting question. I don't really know where to go with it, but and we don't really have time to figure it out either. Sorry. We could have figured it out for all of you. We could have answered this question, but we just don't have time. So we'll have to...
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. That's true. I won't be here.
That's right.
I'm going to be in Cabo San Lucas.
Very cool. I'll be here in sunny Oregon podcasting it out with somebody.
It's a secret. You're still not telling me.
Well, I think I know.
You haven't asked them yet.
No, I have. I just need to finalize the confirmation. Once we actually have a time set up when we're doing it, that's when I'll know for sure. Up until then, it could be up in the air.
See.
So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see when we end up doing it. Cool. I don't know. See? It's no big a deal. Very cool, man.
Cool.
Have fun on your trip.
I will.
Hope travels is good. And we'll see you the following week when you're back. Hopefully not much will happen while you're gone. No, I hope a lot happens. There's a ton of content to talk about. That'd be cool. Cool. All right, man. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I am James Furlow, and my soon-to-be world traveler is a brother called Matthew Furlow. I recovered.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Kind of. kind of. So anyways, we will talk next time.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm
okay. Okay, good.
Just sent my email. I'm good.
Cool. All right. Brief moment of silence.
Told you I just sent it.
That's perfect. Okay. Try again. Brief momento de silencio.